Welcome to the deep dive. This is where we take the information you send us, sift through it, and really try to pull out the key insights for you.
Yeah, kind of like a shortcut to being well-informed on a specific topic.
Exactly. And today, we're zoning in on Vermont, specifically what's happening in education there.
Right. And our main source for this is a submission we got, the Vermont Education News and Updates newsletter. You might know it as 802ED.
Mm-hmm. And what's great about 802ED, it seems, is how targeted it is. It really focuses on the Vermont education community.
It does. It, you know, aims to cover stuff that's genuinely useful for teachers, administrators, parents, anyone involved in schools in Vermont. Gives you a real feel for what's going on.
Absolutely. And it's not just one narrow thing. I mean, just glancing through this issue, you see a whole range of topics.
Oh, yeah.
Things like school leadership discussions, the potential impact of federal voucher ideas, those electric school buses. Practical stuff.
Right, the real world application. And also tough topics like potential school closings are mentioned, university funding challenges.
Plus inclusivity efforts, looking at curriculum standards elsewhere, the whole cell phone debate in schools.
And even some innovative learning programs getting started. So it's a pretty broad snapshot.
It really is. But okay, while 802ED gives this wide view, there's one thing that really kind of leaps off the page in this issue.
Let me guess. H-454.
You got it. The big education reform bill, H-454. It's clearly a major focus right now.
Yeah, definitely seems to be the hot topic. And the welcome message in 802ED points out right away that the Senate's version of this bill, it's already getting significant pushback.
Okay, so let's dig into that. The note from the editor section gives some context. The original House bill was, well, it's huge, 415 pages.
Wow, yeah. That suggests a really, really deep and maybe comprehensive attempt at reform, right? Covering a lot of ground.
You'd think so. But then the editor highlights that the Senate version, it's way shorter, down to 125 pages.
That's a massive cut, more than two-thirds gone.
It is. Mm-hmm. And apparently it includes some pretty significant changes, like getting rid of minimum class sizes and reducing per pupil spending.
Those are pretty fundamental changes to how schools operate and are funded.
For sure. And the editor uses this great analogy, kind of funny but pointed. They talk about dealing with a raccoon in their chicken coop.
Huh, okay. Where's this going?
Well, they sort of draw a parallel, asking, you know, why did the Senate committee feel the need to just completely overhaul the House bill like that? It really conveys this sense of maybe frustration or bafflement.
Yeah, like why mess with it so much? I get that. It's a relatable way to put it. And it seems that feeling isn't just the editors.
Well, apparently not. The Buzz on the Street section mentions, what, over a dozen former Vermont legislators, and they're speaking out against H-454, where literally say Vermont deserves better.
Wow. That's pretty strong language, especially coming from people who've been involved in making policy before. They know the system.
It really is. And then you look at the reaction from the main education groups in Vermont.
Yeah, the H-454 Senate Redux section lays that out. It's the School Boards Association, VSBA, the superintendents, VSA, the principals, VPA, and the school business officials.
So basically all the key players in running the schools.
Pretty much. And they're not happy with the Senate's changes. They're expressing some serious reservations.
What's their main argument?
Well, their assessment is basically that the original House version felt more coherent, like it all fit together logically.
Okay.
And more equitable, so fairer for all students, and also more actionable, like you could actually do the things it proposed.
Right, practical steps.
Exactly. And they suggest the Senate's changes seem more focused on perhaps political compromise rather than the big structural reforms they think are actually needed.
And they even suggest, didn't they, that the Senate version might end up keeping some of the old problems, the inefficiencies the House bill tried to fix.
Yeah, that's part of their critique, that it might actually preserve some inefficiencies, which coming from those groups is, it's a pretty sharp criticism.
Definitely. And it gets even more stark. The newsletter mentions at least one legislator anonymously who apparently thinks the Senate bill will be devastating to our education system.
Devastating. I mean, that's incredibly strong language. It really highlights the level of concern about the potential impact if this version passes.
Yeah. Now, for listeners who really want to get into the weeds on this.
Like, compare the two versions directly.
Exactly. The newsletter mentions something called H-454 in stereo. It's a side-by-side comparison from legislative counsel.
Oh, that sounds useful. A way to see exactly what changed, line by line, presumably.
Right. So that resource exists if you really want to dive deep into the specifics.
Good to know.
And it's interesting, too, how this all connects back to sort of the bigger picture for Vermont.
How so?
Well, in that same Buzz on the Street section, there's an op-ed by Oliver Perini. And he makes the case that education is, you know, a really critical piece of the state's budget strategy.
Ah, linking it to attracting and keeping young families.
Exactly. Framing education investment as a tool for the state's overall health and, well, its future.
That makes sense. It suggests that major education reforms like H-454 aren't just about schools in isolation. They have wider ripples, economically and socially, for the whole state.
Yeah, it puts the debate in a broader context.
Yeah.
Okay, so stepping back from H-454 for a moment.
Okay.
Because it is the big story, but 802 Ed covered other things too.
Right. It wasn't only about the bill.
No. For instance, there was a mention of a WCAX report.
Mm-hmm.
Something about a school district deciding not to use electric buses they'd already bought.
Oh, interesting. So maybe hitting some practical roadblocks with new tech.
Could be. It raises questions about, you know, the real-world challenges of implementing things like that.
Mm.
Logistics, maybe costs we don't foresee.
Yeah. Highlights the complexities districts deal with, even when trying to do something positive like going green.
Then there was a report from 7 Days VT about potential school closings in one community due to budget cuts.
Always a difficult issue.
Yeah, and the headline they used, rushed, opaque, and unprofessional, kind of tells you how the community felt about the process.
Oof. Yeah, that speaks volumes about frustration and maybe a lack of communication. These decisions are so tough and emotionally charged.
Definitely raises questions about how those conversations happen or maybe should happen.
Mm-hmm.
On a different note, environmental health in schools. The Valley News covered a district dealing with PCB remediation.
Right, cleaning up those harmful chemicals.
Yeah, and apparently they're mostly using local funds because state support is limited. The headline was, kick in the gut.
Wow. Yeah, that suggests they feel kind of abandoned to deal with a big, expensive problem locally.
Seems like it. The article also mentioned the state saying, well, schools can do their own sampling if they want to check for PCBs.
Which puts the onus back on the local districts, right? It really points to the challenges of aging school buildings and who pays for upkeep and safety.
For sure. Shifting gears a bit.
Yeah.
Cell phones in schools. That perennial topic.
Always comes up.
The Burlington Free Press followed up on a bill, H-54. Aimed at minimizing phone use. But what was interesting is they included student voices, student counter-arguments.
Oh, that's good. Important to hear from the students who are directly affected by these policies.
Absolutely.
Yeah?
It shows it's not a simple issue. There are different perspectives right there in the school community.
Definitely need that balance.
And related to school climate, the Brattleboro Informer reported a local school board asking for BIPOC representation, Black, Indigenous, and people of color, on the state's anti-bullying advisory council.
Ah, okay. A push for more diverse voices in shaping those important policies around student safety and well-being.
Exactly. Seems like a clear signal about wanting inclusivity at the policymaking level.
Which reflects a broader trend, I think, recognizing that diverse perspectives lead to better, more supportive policies for all students.
Yeah. But it wasn't all challenges and debates. There are some positive notes, too. Well, the Vermont School Boards Association launched an award competition to recognize, you know, really well-functioning school boards.
Oh, that's nice. Highlighting good work and effective leadership at the local level.
Yeah, celebrating success.
That's important, too. Sharing best practices can really help other districts.
And on a lighter note, the reader survey in this issue just asked, do you know how many days are left until the end of the school year?
Huh. Yeah, that's definitely something on educators' minds this time of year.
Totally. It's a small thing, but it shows the newsletter kind of connects with the day-to-day reality of its readers.
Builds that sense of shared experience, you know.
Right. We also saw congrats to Richford for winning the VPA Geography Bee.
Nice. Student achievement.
And info about mental health first aid workshops for educators.
Oh, that's crucial. Supporting educator well-being and giving them tools to support students. Very important.
Definitely seems like a growing focus. There was even a comic scholarship mentioned for a Vermont team.
Cool. Showing diverse opportunities.
And a survey from Advance Vermont about what graduating seniors need for support after high school.
So looking ahead, helping with transitions, all good stuff.
Yeah, initiatives supporting students at different stages. And finally, the newsletter just includes practical things like job listings, notes on school leader vacancies.
Which gives you a snapshot of the current job market in Vermont education, right? Where the needs might be.
Exactly. A real-time indicator.
Okay, so quite a range covered in just one newsletter issue.
It really is. So as we wrap up this deep dive into Vermont education news, it's crystal clear that H-454, that education reform bill, is front and center.
Absolutely. We've talked about the big changes the Senate made, that strong pushback from former legislators.
And the united front of concern from those key education associations, the VSBA, VSA, VPA, and the business officials.
Yeah, their view that the original House bill was maybe more coherent, equitable, and actionable seems to be a major sticking point.
Plus that stark warning from at least one legislator about the Senate bill being potentially devastating.
Right. And remember, there's that side-by-side comparison resource, H454 in stereo, if you, the listener, want to really examine the details yourself.
And connecting it all back to state budgeting and attracting families really underscores why this debate matters so much for Vermont's future.
Definitely. But beyond H454, we also touched on a lot of other facets of Vermont education.
Yeah, the electric bus realities, those tough school closing decisions, the PCB cleanup challenges, the cell phone policy discussions.
Less efforts towards inclusivity, celebrating good work by school boards, student achievements, mental health support. It paints a really full picture.
It does. This issue of 802 Ed really provides a valuable window into, well, the complex world of Vermont education today. You see the challenges, but also the dedication.
For sure. Lots of dedicated people working hard for students and communities there.
So maybe a final thought for you to chew on. When you consider everything we've discussed, especially the big proposed changes in H454 and the strong reactions, what fundamental values should be guiding the future of Vermont's education system?
That's a big question.
It is. But maybe an important one to keep in mind as this whole debate unfolds. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive.